Recovery Radio, KMP3, 1000 Oaks.
Yes. You are listening to Recovery Radio Podcast on KMP3. I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I will be your host. You can email me at sarcasticbigbook@gmail.com. On Instagram, sarcastic.aa.book. And as always, so glad you're here with me. Don't know if your day is just getting started, or it's winding down, or it's somewhere in the middle. But here we are, and I'm glad. Grayfly have no desire to drink. I'm not tricked by the time. My sobriety date is October 19th, 1989. And I keep it on my mental front page that I have a daily reprieve that's contingent upon the maintenance of my spiritual condition. And that's it. Nothing special, not a guru, I'm not a representative of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm just one really grateful, really blessed former drunk, an ex-problem drinker, as the book calls it. Still an alcoholic, but not suffering from it at the moment. It's amazing. I have my piping hot cup of French roast coffee, and today I was thinking I can tell the difference between this coffee and other coffees. I can. I just love all coffees so much that whatever I'm taking a sip of, it's so good. But I can tell the difference between this. I know earlier I joked that I couldn't, but I was really bugging out to that this morning. I was really enjoying it. I'm drinking it today from my Enjoy the Ride coffee mug that my friend Sarah got me and one for my wife. Referencing the bike analogy that we have in the workshop where the steps are like a bike. Put the bike together and then you ride it. You don't take it apart and reassemble it and take it apart and reassemble it and take it apart and reassemble it year after year after year after year while people around you are needing to learn how to ride. Asking you for help. You're forced to say, I can't because I'm on step six of putting my bike together yet again. I'm sorry, I can't. But the idea in the big book is to put it together and ride. Build a bike and then ride it. It's fun. It's challenging. You're always learning new things. Sometimes you fall. Sometimes you got to replace a tire or a spoke or a bell or something here and there, but you don't have to take the whole thing apart over and over and over and over and over again. I've admitted to my inner self I'm an alcoholic. I don't have to do that annually. I know I'm an alcoholic. I have come to believe there's a power greater than myself that's always expanding and deepening and widening, and I don't need to come to believe again, I do believe. So for me to do step two again wouldn't make sense to me. And step three, I'm doing all the time. Says in step 11, we're constantly reminding ourselves we're no longer running the show, and that we're asking God to particularly divorce our thinking from selfishness and, you know, freedom from self-will. We need asking for that to be removed, and we're not praying for ourselves only, and just constantly doing step three. Step three, like Yasmin has so brilliantly said, is like jumping rope. And to me, working the program is like jumping rope. So when somebody says, I did the steps already, I literally visualize somebody sitting next to a jump rope and saying, I already did that. I'm thinking, you're not doing it. What do you mean you already did that? I already jumped rope. What are you doing now? You need to jump rope right now. That can't stop. What do you mean you already did that? I already jumped roped. Well, you're missing something. When you launch on this course of vigorous action, you start jumping rope and you don't stop. You don't launch on a course of vigorous action and then start jumping rope and then put the rope down and sit down. Say, I already did that. I'm done. You're missing something, to my understanding of these steps. So, I'm drinking out of my bike mug. Enjoying the ride. Inventories? I'm constantly doing some kind of inventory. I'm not making that up. It becomes a way of life. When I was new, for a long time, I did written inventories constantly. Daily. And after a while, that process that is the point of the written inventory became so much of how I thought that I was able to do the right thing. My feelings would change. My thoughts about people would change sufficiently to where a literal written inventory wasn't necessary all the time. But I still do them. But that's me. Everybody's different. If it doesn't work like that for me, if something's still rolling around, then I'll do it in a written inventory. But the point I'm making with all this is you don't stop. It's a way of life. It is a way of life. It's not a little linear set of steps that you go through and then you're done. If you read the big book, you find this is true. It doesn't stop. So there's a huge disconnect between what's in there and what's being explained. It doesn't stop. I'm jumping rope. I realized that I could not stop drinking. I realized that I couldn't continue drinking either. and I reached a state of complete deflation. I was open to there being a higher power that could solve this. I surrendered to that higher power. And that is today's topic. Surrender. And how do I know I surrendered to that higher power? Because I did not balk at the steps. That's how I know I surrendered. Because my sponsor said, do your inventory, and I went home and did my inventory. I didn't go home and play with myself, watch TV, listen to records. I did all that, but after my inventory. But I didn't balk. I did not balk. That's how I know I surrendered. Looking back, it's really clear. There was no fight in me against this stuff. That was that changed anything. I was willing. I was willing to do my inventory. I was willing to do my fifth step. Was I nervous and afraid? Yes, I was. But I was willing to do them. And the fear of those things was nothing compared to the idea of continuing drinking. The thought of having another drink, a million times scarier to me than an inventory. Didn't balk. I did want to hold on to some character defects for a while. I did want to hold on to selfishness in relationships. Meaning I did want to be with people for selfish reasons. But I also, that being said, had a sincere desire to let God take me to other things. I had that. Willing to make my amends? I was willing to make my amends. I was willing to make my amends. There were amends that worried me and that I was afraid of, but I was willing to do it. I did not balk. That's how I know I surrendered. And I was not like this arriving in AA. I was very much the opposite of these things. Very close-minded. Very stubborn. Very set in my thoughts and behavior. You could have talked to me 2 minutes before I surrendered and said, this jerk will perish. But I surrendered, and I was willing to do all this, and I was willing to adopt it as a way of life, and I was willing to do everything that people suggested that I do. Share, even if when I didn't want to, share first, get commitments. They explained why. They didn't say just do this blindly. They explained why. So important. I said, get a commitment. Now it's our meeting. Now it's, you're part of that. Now it's not their meeting. Now it's our meeting. Get a commitment. That will change your mindset. You'll be a part of it now, in a way. Psychologically, do it. Also, you'll be being of service. Also, you'll be forced to interact in ways you would not normally interact. So just do it. And I was willing to do it. I was willing to do it. They said, you're going to go speak at a jail. I said, okay. There was no part of me that was like, well, I know, but I'm really busy. There's a lot going on, so I was always busy. I'm a really, energetic, driven, motivated, creative, being when I got sober. I've done a lot of things and pursued a lot of things, and I've had a lot of jobs as I have pursued my career. And I sponsored people, and I've been to school and multiple times in early sobriety and then later on in sobriety. And I've been in relationships throughout. But I was never like, I'm too busy. Because I was surrendered. I asked a friend of mine this week, who I've known for a really long time, if they would lead a meeting. And immediately they wrote back, you bet. That's the attitude I relate to. Surrender. I had a lot of commitments. I went on 12-step calls. Went here, set up this, did that, went to this picnic, went to this gathering, went to this dance, got a commitment here, did this, did that. And, you know, today I have a commitment to Alcoholics Anonymous 7 days a week. There's no reason for me right now not to have that. There's no explanation that would prevent me from doing that currently, that does not feel selfish. Sometimes I need a break here and there. I have all that set up, and I deal with that responsibly, but in general, where it's at. Surrendered. I'm not fighting this. I'm not trying to run the show. I'm surrendered. When should I look for God's will? When should I try to align my will with God's will? Right now. When does that change? It doesn't change. When is that different? It's not different. That's a full-time task. So, are you balking? Are you refusing to proceed? Are you refusing to do something? Or are you surrendered? Food for thought. I'm going to fold up the cupcake cart. I'm going to give a shout out to my friends at Happy, Joyous, and Three. and the Black Rhinos, a podcast greater than yourself, Sober Gratitude's podcast, anonymous podcast. It's a special hello to Chelsea. And I will say to anyone who needs to hear it, everything is okay. I'm going to go jump rope now. In other words, I am going to go try to live a life that was worth saving. And I hope that you'll do the same.